the comb across my head. On the way downstairs and drank a coffee, and looking up, I noticed I was late. Found my coat and grabbed my hat, made the bus in seconds flat. On the way upstairs and had a smoke, and somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Finn Show is back, and I'm here with John Clark, a musician and professor of telecommunications at the University of Kentucky, and we're discussing John Lennon and Paul McCartney and their place as number two on AOL Music's list of all-time greatest rock songwriters. John, let's move on to the Beatles' next album chronologically, what some people consider their greatest album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Revolver would have been 66, Sgt. Pepper 67. Now we're at the heart of their creativity, I think. Most people would agree that Sgt. Pepper was a breakthrough album for rock. If you were to name 10 albums that changed the nature of rock and roll, that would be one of them, I think.
Well, it's generally credited as being the first concept album.
Yes, okay. And so, of course, and all the clues for Paul is dead are in there, too.
Well, we could start talking about all that.
No, we aren't going to bog ourselves down in there. We want to acknowledge that whole mess was going on, but whatever.
Well, here's what it boils down to, is not only were they recording music and playing songs, they were playing with our heads.
It seems that way, certainly. It doesn't seem like it could be an accident.
No, it's not an accident.
It turns out, though, he's alive, because he was just here in concert last week, and he's been spotted.
Right. And not only that, he seems to be in pretty good health, too.
Well, so let me just list a few other songs that are on Sgt. Pepper's. So, of course, it starts with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and ends with A Day in a Life, which we talked about.
And isn't it a wild idea that we're Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band comes from Paul's experience with his father,
yes,
who played in dance hall bands.
Right.
You know, so they very consciously started out with, we want to present this as a show. Here's a show. And here's the rest of the album. And it's part of the show. And they wind up with the reprise at the end that winds it all up. Now the show's over.
Right, right. Well, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is on Sgt. Pepper. And although they swear to this day it was not about drugs.
Well, no, they don't swear to this day.
They don't? Okay.
They swore at the time that it was not about drugs, but I've got a great biography of Paul McCartney where he just goes ahead and admits all the drug references that they very intentionally inserted into their songs. And, I'm trying to think, what's the name of that song that he wound up writing to his dog? There's all kinds of things that you think are love songs or references to other things, and they turn out to be jokes played on us all.
And in case anyone is unaware of this, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, the abbreviation is LSD.
Exactly.
So they keep repeating, Lucy in the sky with diamonds. And there's no other heavy meaning to this thing.
It's very clearly hallucinogenic song.
Yeah, yeah. Marmalade Sky and all this stuff, right?
Right, yep. Right.
Now, When I'm 64 is on this album, mm-hmm. and Lovely Rita, and Good Morning, Good Morning, which those kinds of songs to me are these kind of light, breezy little ditties, but they're more than that. It depends on what it means to you.
Well, now, how many bands of 20-year-olds were looking forward at the time to When I'm 64?
Well, I can only think of one man. Simon and Garfunkel said, mm-hmm. how terribly strange to be 70 when they were the same age.
Yeah, and while other bands couldn't even comprehend what it would be like to get past 30.
Well, some of them didn't.
Well, Pete Townsend, you know, didn't anticipate being a rock and roller.
That's right. I hope I die before I get old.
Right.
And, of course, the beauty is all these guys did live till they got a little older. But well, not everybody survived. We lost a few people.
Fortunately.
Well,
unfortunately we lost them, but fortunately we kept a few.
That's right. So the same year, they moved on to Magical Mystery Tour, which, again, we were talking about the drugs, but clearly that album has a variety of references. And you've already mentioned Penny Lane, but in some ways, this is my favorite Beatles album. I can do that with several, including Abbey Road and the White Album. But Magical Mystery Tour has a variety of hits on it, right? It's got Strawberry Fields Forever. It's mm-hmm. got Penny Lane. It's got Hello, Goodbye, Magical Mystery Tour itself, The Fool on the Hill.
Oh, The Fool on the Hill is a classic. I love that song.
Yeah.
Talk about an introspective song. My gosh. It's the kind of song you write at 3 o'clock in the morning after being up for days.
And it's a ballad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that album ends with All You Need Is Love. And
pretty anthemic right there, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I could argue that that is their anthem. Now, it's not.
Yeah, well,
typical...
they produced that as a nationwide. I got to think about this. Was this not the very first worldwide satellite hookup production that ever occurred?
It probably was.
I think it was. They gathered all these people around them in a studio and played All You Need Is Love, and I believe that was the first worldwide satellite television transmission.
I believe Paul McCartney ends his songs, his concerts on this tour with All You Need Is Love, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's another sign it's an anthem, and I'll just relate a little story. It was from a U2 concert I saw years ago. It must be going back 15, 20 years. I can give you a half a dozen examples of concerts that impressed me with the way they started. That is, the band did something unusual to lead into them coming on stage. And U2 was very unusual. I'd already seen U2, so it wasn't that I was just impressed with that. I was at Nassau Coliseum in probably 86 or 87, and they were using Beatles songs as their warm-up music, which violates the old rule, which nobody pays any attention to anymore, which is never play music from a band that's better than you are.
Right.
But they had the nerve to do it, and they played several Beatles songs, and then they started with All You Need Is Love, and they cranked the volume up so loud, by the time the house lights went down, that song was at concert decibel levels, as though the band was on live. And it did an amazing thing to the crowd. The crowd sang along, and the buzz in the arena as U2 started their concert was at a level I've only seen in a couple of different concerts where bands built to a crescendo using some technique like that. And the idea, if you told me you could do that with that song, I wouldn't have believed it till I saw it. It was quite impressive.
Well, those U2 guys are pretty crafty.
Well, it was the song, obviously, but yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I was just thinking of another one of their songs, though. Got to get you into my life.
Yes,
I was alone. I took a drive. I didn't know what I would find there. Well, that song, I was amazed to read in the Paul McCartney biography, is an homage to marijuana. That's what that song is about.
Now that you say that, it rings a bell that I read that recently somehow, but I never knew it.
When Paul first started getting high, he was taken with it, and he was taken with it for many years, and he just said, hey, this is great. Got to get you into my life.
Well, he got caught going into Japan with a big amount, and he just thought, well, I'm a rock star. I didn't know you guys were going to search me, or whatever he said.
Yeah, well, what he said was, I don't know what the big deal is. It's just a little herb for me smoking.
Right, right. Well,
I think he had about a quarter pound with him.
It was a huge amount.
Yeah.
Those rock stars.
Well, they were going to be in Japan for a few weeks.
Hey, I want to continue with the Beatles, but let's do it after a short break.
You know you twist so fine.